Lord in prayer this morning. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this beautiful Lord's Day that you've given us, Lord. We're thankful for the snow, Heavenly Father, and we're thankful for the beauty of it as we look out upon nature, Heavenly Father, and see your goodness within each and everything that you do, Heavenly Father. We just pray this morning that you bless those who are online with us. Bless those, Lord, this morning who couldn't make it out to church, the churches that are closed due to weather. We just pray, Heavenly Father, a blessing upon each and every one for the many prayer requests around this morning, Heavenly Father. We just lift up each and every one, Lord, and we know, Heavenly Father, that the touch of your hand is upon each thing that we discuss with you, Heavenly Father. And we just go ahead and thank you and praise you, Lord, for answering those prayers. We just pray now that you'd be with us this day, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us, Heavenly Father. We would follow after your leadership of your Holy Spirit so that we might say and do those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto thee. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
So this morning, we started out, if you remember last Sunday, we said that we're going to talk about three different things that could not have taken place without the birth of Christ. So last Sunday we talked about our pursuit of eternal life, and this Sunday we want to talk just a few minutes about the assurance of our salvation. So how assured are we of the salvation that we have? Now, we know that we're sure that one of these days that when we go on, we're going to go on to be with the Lord. That's one of the things that our salvation does for us. But what about everything else that God wants to do for us through his saving grace? So that means there's going to be many people out there in the world today. They profess the saving grace of Jesus Christ, but not all who profess Christ truly experience their salvation, this salvation that comes from God. And this is because when we receive salvation, God delivers us. He transforms us into a new life with his son Christ. And then at that moment, we expect that there'll be no more trouble, no more sorrow, no more pain. Nothing else is going to happen to us in our life. But sadly, we are mistaken about that, because Satan is going to do his best to keep us bound in and by worldly fear. So therefore, when this tends to take place in our life, then we tend to forget about the benefits and following after those things that God has encouraged for us through his word, what our salvation is all about. So how are we going to learn to experience the salvation of God? Well, it all starts, or it begins with, we have to hold fast. We have to be obedient to his calling in our life. So that means that the calling to do his work, to be of service unto him, to read, to study, to pray. So even though God provides this and he takes care of it, we still have a responsibility. We must learn to do our part. So God created us to be in a relationship with him. And in order to do this, then we have to work alongside him. He has to be a part of our life. So that means we've got to communicate with him. We've got to be obedient to the promises and the commandments of his word. All of these things that God has in store for us in our life, is our life during this time still going to be full of struggles and trials and tribulations? Well, sure it is. But one of the things that we learn is when we're following after and we have this close relationship with God, we understand that now He'll take care of those things. He wants us to stop trying to control everything in our life on our own, and He wants us to allow Him to take control, to be in control of everything. So the things that are impossible for us to do, God can do them if we'll only allow Him to do them. So when we finally give up, when we finally turn things over to the Lord, when we finally desire that He would take control of everything in our life, then we're going to find out that we are going to be free now to do those things that God would have for us to do in our life. So, therefore, the assurance of our salvation, it's simple. It's declared through the Word of God. It's very simple. The problem is that as believers, as people, mortal people who live on this earth, we tend to complicate it. So we look for the assurance of our salvation. We're always looking for it, but we're always looking in the wrong places. We're always turning to man. We're always turning to the world when God wants us to turn to Him. So oftentimes we tend to look for our salvation through the good works that we believe that we're doing on in our life, when in fact it should be based not upon our good works, but it should be based upon our promises according to the truth of God's Word, and not on the experiences that we go through or the experiences that we encounter as we're living our life here upon this earth. So let's go over to the book of 1 John chapter 5. Let's go over there. I'm going to read a couple scriptures to you, verses of scripture to you in the book of 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 11. And here's what he says, and we'll talk about these just for a moment. And it said, and this is the record. So the record means these are promises that God has given us through His Word. And one of the promises is, he said, God hath given us eternal life. That is a promise from God when we accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And he said, and this life is in His Son. So our eternal life comes through Christ Jesus. So he said, he that hath the Son hath life. Here's another promise that God has given unto us. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. So two promises right there in a row. One says if you know Christ, if you accepted Christ, you have eternal life with Christ. But if you haven't, if you've rejected Him, then there is no eternal life with God or with Christ. So, and then he says, and these things have I written. So here's another promise that he gave to us. He wrote it all down for us so that we might be able to go in, that we might be able to study it, we might be able to meditate on it. He wants us to be obedient to this. So he said, I wrote it down so that you that believe upon the name of the Son of God, he said, here's another part of that promise. He said, so that ye might know that ye have eternal life, that ye might be assured of your eternal life. Through everything that you go through in your life, God wants to make sure, He's trying to encourage us, that there is assurance in our salvation to be able to live according to His promises. So he said, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye might believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or upon the name of the Son of God. And he says, this is the confidence that he gives unto us through this. So God does not remember that. God does not want us to live our life as believers. He doesn't want us to wander around and where is my salvation coming from? Where is my salvation? And he certainly doesn't want us to worry whether or not we're going to have an eternal future with him. So he wants us to have confidence. He wants us to be confident in our salvation, the things that he has assured us through our salvation. So this is why this assurance is so simple and it's so clear. And it means that when we trust in it, we have freedom. We're free from worldly doubt. We're freed from all these worldly emotions that we have that keep us struggling in our life. We're free from those things. And our eternal life in God, it's just what it says. It is eternal, and that means nothing can take away our salvation that God has freely given unto us. It came through Jesus Christ, his Son. So now we can live in confidence. We can live confidently knowing that our salvation will never be in question by God. Now, man might question it. Man might try to get you to doubt it. Satan might try to get you to doubt it. God will never question it once we're saved, because it's based upon the things that he has provided unto us through his Son. So, we're going to go to the book of Luke, and we're going to look at an example of this assurance of our salvation. So we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And here's what it says. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this same man," and this could describe the believer today. He said this man, he was just, he was devout, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling within him. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit." So God reveals a lot of things to us by his Holy Spirit. Now, we've talked about this many times before. How does he do this? Mostly he does it through his word. And the Holy Spirit shows us things through the word of God. So he said the Holy Spirit revealed unto them that before he died, that he would see the Lord Christ. And it said, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple." So you see Simeon, we don't always do this. We're not always allowing ourselves to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. But it said Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple. "And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law," it said, "then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said," so he was thankful now, because now this promise that God made and through him, God was fulfilling this promise. He said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." So when Simeon began to fix himself upon the baby Jesus, the Christ, he knew that he knew what God was doing. He knew now what his salvation was truly all about. Even though that Christ hadn't been crucified yet, he hadn't been resurrected yet, but now Simeon knew. So this is God wants us to have this same assurance of our salvation. And every day, Christ brings something into our life. He reveals it to us through the Holy Spirit, because he wants us to have this same assurance of our salvation. So he said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." And he said, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." So we have this desire. Simeon had this desire for his eternal life, but he needed that extra assurance. He needed that little bit of extra confidence to say, "Okay, Lord, I understand what it is now. I understand it's secure." So he said, "I understand also that the reason I questioned it is because my desire is limited. This mortal, temporary life that we live here upon this earth limits our desire to see the surety of our life in Christ. So is man going to live eternally? Yes, man is going to live eternally, but it's going to, where we live eternally is going to be based upon the choices that we make. The choices that we make are going to determine the destination of our eternal life. So that means failure to accept we've chosen our destination to be eternally separated from God, if we've chose to accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ, then we've accepted and we've chosen that our eternal destination will be with God. So that means life is very valuable as we live here upon this earth. Everything that we experience, whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's very valuable, because nothing can be more valuable than living forever, except living forever not with the one who gave us eternal life. It's only valuable if we're going to live forever with the Lord. So God wants us to have this confidence. So, and he wants us to be much more willing in our life to make sacrifices. Those things that those worldly, lustful desires that we have, God wants us to sacrifice those things so that we might be able to go out and share with others the saving grace that we have. So the most valuable hope that we can have in our life is the hope of living forever, but the hope of living forever with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, even though salvation is prepared for everybody, it's offered up to everybody, no man has the ability to save himself. So all these people out here in the world today that are trying to get to heaven on their own, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to work. God alone has the power to redeem the sinner, the sinful people. And he does it through the saving grace of his son, Jesus Christ. And he tells us that. We're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. He says that there is no other name by where we can be saved. So Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Here's what it says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Did you get that? We must be saved. There is no, well, maybe you could take your chance one of these days when you get to heaven and say, well, Lord, I thought I'd just take a chance on getting here without salvation. No, it says we must be saved. So that means God, many, many times through his scripture, he declares unto us what his righteousness is all about. And his righteousness for us can only come through our faith in his son, Jesus Christ. So God's righteous judgment on sin was secured for us on the cross. Christ done this for us when he purchased the forgiveness of our sin. Now, what do I mean by purchase the forgiveness of our sin? He paid our sin debt. When he hung up on the cross, he took the sin of the world, our sin, he took that upon himself, and he made it available for us to receive his righteousness. So that means that it's only by faith that we have life, that a righteous person can have eternal life. And without the power of God, without the power of the gospel of Christ, then there can be no salvation. There can be no freedom from sin. There can be no redemption. There can be no justification. There can be no eternal life with God. So our righteousness is a completeness of the total work of God. There's nothing that we've done to deserve it. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. It comes from God. Salvation comes from, now pay attention to this, because we know it comes from our faith in Jesus Christ. But salvation started, it comes from God's faithfulness to us. He promised us that he would give us a Savior, that he would provide a sacrificial lamb, that he would take care of us. So our salvation comes from God's faithfulness to us in reaction to how the faith that we have is what accomplishes this through God's faithfulness. So it all started with the work that came from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it comes first and foremost, here's how it all took place. It comes because of our response to His love for us. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world. We had to respond to that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the faithfulness that God gave unto us. So that means we've got to trust God from the beginning of our life to the end of our life. We've got to trust God. We've got to rely upon the power of God through the gospel of the truth of His word. And we have to understand and rely and know that God is going to change our life through His word. He's going to give us confidence through His word. He's going to give us the assurity of our salvation through His word. And when He begins to change our life, then He'll be able to use us to help change the lives of others out in the world today. So let's go back to the book of Luke. Let's read a couple more verses about Simeon. Back in the book of Luke, chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 33 this time. And here's what it said. So Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were being spoken to him, the things that the Holy Spirit was revealing to Simeon. And it said, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. Meaning this was going to be the saving grace of all of mankind, is what this was about. And he said, and it was for a sign. So God tries to show us and give to us daily in our life signs about the assurance of our salvation. This time of year, we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Christ, a sign of the assurance of our salvation. And he said, which shall be spoken? And he said, here's one of the things that's going to happen. He said, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, and the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. So in today, the time that we live in today, many, and this is what this is talking about, many believers, sinners all the time stumble, but many believers within the body of Christ stumble because of their response to the gospel that God has given unto us. This is the thoughts of many hearts that are being revealed. It shows us things in our life, things that we don't necessarily always want to see, and therefore we stumble because of that in our life. So this is because the Bible, the Word of God, the gospel reveals unto each one of us whether or not we are being sincere in seeking after the will of God in our life. Are we being sincere when we are looking for the assurance of our salvation? So this means one day, it doesn't matter, believer or non-believer, one day everybody's going to experience Christ. But for the ones that doesn't believe in Him, that experience is not going to be a very good experience. And so that means they're going to stumble over those things that God is going to reveal it to them about their life. So that means that if we're disobedient to the Word of God, then we've refuse to accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So we know as believers that Christ is the only way to God. And so now it's our responsibility to show to the rest of the world, even those that are disobedient, that Christ is the obstacle that is going to prevent them from reaching God. What did Christ tell His disciples? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You cannot get to God or your eternal life in any other way. So we got to remember that each one is responsible for their own destiny and the eternal life that God has in store for us. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here's what it says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. It's worthy. Everybody has the chance to accept this, and it's a faithful saying, it's a promise given to us by God, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What is our responsibility? What is the assurance of our salvation? Is that we are supposed to be an example, a light to the rest of the world. We took on this responsibility when we accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ. When he went back, he said, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you one that'll help you with this. He's going to reveal the truth to you. So it's our responsibility now to make sure that everybody knows that Christ came to the world. He was born upon this earth. He was crucified. He was resurrected. And it was all to save sinners. So as we continue to believe by faith, as believe, we continue to believe by faith, it is then that we're going to have the ability, God's going to give us the ability through the indwelling Holy Spirit to take hold of the truth of His Word. And it's an amazing truth. It's a truth that God wants us to always be mindful of, to always to study, to meditate. And that the truth is that Christ came into the world so that all mankind could be saved, so that all mankind could have eternal life, so that all mankind could have assurance of their salvation. And we realize this through the greatness of the truth of God's Word. So then, once we're saved, now we, like Paul did to Timothy, because if you read on down through there, Paul said, I was the chief sinner. I took that responsibility. So now we can all admit to that sinfulness. And we can all admit to the sinful things in our life, the things that we do that aren't pleasing unto God. And when we consider the price that was paid, the price that God the Father paid, the price that Christ paid to come into this world to save mankind from their sin, then we're going to start to begin to understand that the forgiveness which we have received, we received it by the grace of God. Not from anyone else, not from anything else, but by the grace of God. So that means now we're going to devote our life to Christ. We're going to devote our life to telling others about Christ. We're going to devote our life to showing others what salvation, what it's all about. What is it prepared? Why did God prepare this for mankind? This is what we're going to devote our life to. And when we get to this place in our life where we are experiencing this lasting devotion, I'm not meaning you're going to experience it for an hour or so today, and then after a while when something goes wrong, the experience left you. That's not what I'm talking about. We're going to experience this every day. Every day in our life, we're going to, even through the trials and tribulations, even through the things that come up against us, we're going to experience this lasting devotion that we have for God. And when we begin to experience this, then others are going to be able to see it in us. You're not going to have to make this great effort to tell somebody that you're saved. They're going to see it in you. They're going to see it because of the way that you carry yourself through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And when others begin to see this, and then they'll begin to experience it as well, then we're gonna begin to understand now what the assurance of our salvation is truly all about. So as we continue on into this season leading up to Christmas, then we want to make sure that we continue to pursue after our eternal life. We want to make sure that we know what our salvation in God is truly all about, because this is the way that we're going to be able to understand, and Lord willing, this will be next week's sermon, that we're going to be able to understand truly what the eternal love of God is all about. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we're truly thankful for each and every opportunity that you give us to come into your house, Lord, to share your word, Lord, with one another. And we pray, Lord, that as we gain understanding through the experiences that we have in our life, Heavenly Father, that you continue, Lord, to show us the way, to help us to be led by your Holy Spirit, to do those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto thee, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Lord, as we go about our day, Lord, we pray that you help us, Lord, to get out, Heavenly Father, to check on our neighbors, to see how everybody's doing, Lord, to let our light shine before others that they might see your good works through each and every one of us. We just pray that you would forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, that you would help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, remember Thursday evening, and the snow will be gone because it's going to get back up in the 50s. So Thursday evening, we're having our Christmas, I don't know what you want to call it. We're going to have a little Christmas get-together here at the church. We're going to have coffee, tea, hot chocolate, most of all homemade baked goods. And we want everybody to come out and to fellowship. Remember, next Sunday morning, Pastor Lou will be here along with Brother Roger will be doing communion. And then later that day, we'll be meeting over at the Big Isaac Church for Christmas dinner. And then the young people is going to have a play for us. So let's keep those things in mind. Mark those things on your calendar. So if you will, this morning, we're going to praise the Lord three times. And y'all can have dinner. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for joining in on